This afternoon, after the preaching service, two or three of the brothers were talking to me, and they made a statement to me that the preaching services so far have been all within the hour. And they said it might be because there's a trap door up here that opens promptly on the hour, and a pit of alligators are down there. I have carefully looked this over, and I don't see anything, but I'm not going to take a chance. It kind of brings to mind at this time 1 Corinthians 1:21. It says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now, I don't believe that that's really the foolishness of the preaching, but maybe the foolishness of the preacher. I remember when I was a young preacher, years and years ago, newly ordained, and thinking that I had a few successes behind this pulpit. A few successes. I guess I got to feeling pretty good about myself. But I was asked to preach at one of the other locals in Missouri. And I prepared what I thought was going to be a blockbuster sermon. And I went and I delivered that sermon. And brothers and sisters, I failed miserably. I failed because I was taking that upon myself and not asking my Heavenly Father for that help and that strength that I need. So tonight I ask each one of you to pray for me, that God will use me to deliver to you what you stand in need of. For I'm sure that there is need here tonight. And I'm sure with the help of our Heavenly Father, that need could and will be filled. Our brother Jay this afternoon delivered a sermon on humility. And he told us a fact that we all know, that there's very little of it in the world. And I hope that there's a lot of it within the Church of Christ. But you know, that humility and any of the other attributes of a good Christian doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come naturally. You have to work at it. You have to practice it. You have to have, and this is the title, if I can so say, of my sermon tonight, you have to have dedication. You have to be dedicated to Jesus Christ. You have to be dedicated to His gospel to be able to have that humility that our brother spoke of this afternoon, or any other of those things that the gospel of Christ tell us that we have to have to be able to qualify ourselves for eternal life. Dedication. We made a commitment, or at least I hope we made a commitment, when we went into the waters of baptism. We said that we would dedicate our lives to Him. We said that He would be number one. We said that we would forsake all others and follow after Him. Have we done this? Can each one of us here tonight say yes to that question? I have dedicated my life to Jesus Christ. I have dedicated my life to following after the principles that He has laid down for us. If you can truly say that, then I ask you that can truly say that to get up and leave, because you don't need to listen to the rest of my sermon. I don't see anybody leaving. Is there some doubts in your mind that you have truly 100% dedicated your life? Sure there is. Sure there is. If there wasn't that little shred of doubt in your mind, you wouldn't have driven, a lot of you, 800-900 miles to be here tonight to hear the foolishness of this preacher. Would you? No. No. We all want to learn. We all want to see how we can dedicate our lives a little bit more to be able to stand before that judgment bar of Christ and hear, "Well done, O good and faithful servant." Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter. 4th chapter, and I want to read through 12 through 19. 1 Peter, 4th chapter, 12 through 19. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." And these fiery trials, brothers and sisters, are going to come. They're going to come more and more as we get closer and closer to the second coming of Christ. And we're going to have that dedication to be able to withstand those trials. Because without it, we're going to fall by the wayside. Without it, we're going to come up short. Without it, we're going to let fear come into our lives, and we're going to fall because of those trials. We're not going to be able to face them. "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of the glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." And we have to have that dedication that I'm talking about to be able to glorify his name. Because if we have that dedication, brothers and sisters, our everyday lives will reflect that Christ-like quality that should be within us. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God." And we claim that this is the house of God. We claim that the Church of Christ is based upon the foundation of Jesus. "And if that be so, then that judgment must begin with us. And it will begin with us. And we must start dedicating our lives to be able to withstand." "What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Do we want to fall into that category? Do we even want to find out what their end will be who do not obey? We can imagine the terrible torment that's going to face these who do not obey. "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. We must do that. We must endure to the end. It's not easy for us to be fully dedicated. I'm not going to stand up here tonight and tell you it's an easy thing. Because each one of you who has asked Christ to come into their lives, each one of you who have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, each one of you who have accepted and went into the waters of baptism and said, I'm going to follow you, know that it's not an easy task. Know that the devil is out there throwing things in your way. Know that he is putting temptations on each one of you that is hard to bear. It's not an easy thing. The devil is there to distract you with all of the things of the world. Some of them look pretty good, don't they? Some of the things of the world look pretty good to you. Come on now, don't lie to yourself. They do. That's where the dedication comes in. You have to be so dedicated to Christ that you overcome those nice looking things. Those things that entice you. Those things that try to pull you away from a Christ-like life. The Book of Mormon says that the temptations of the devil blindeth the eyes and harden the hearts of the children of men and leadeth them away into broad roads that they may perish and are lost. Can he do that? Can he do that? Just as sure as God is living today, so is the devil. Just as sure as God can work in each one of our hearts, minds, and lives today, so can the devil. And let me assure you that the devil will try harder to gain the soul of a member of the Church of Christ than he will anyone else, because the victory for him is greater. Yes, he's out there. And he's going to try to win our souls. And we have to be dedicated to keep him from doing it. Turn over with me, with you, if you will, to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And I'm going to read something that's very, very familiar to all of you. You've read it many, many times, I'm sure. The 13th verse through the 20th. 7th chapter of Matthew. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. I work in a cement plant. And this cement plant, one of its main pieces of equipment, is called a kiln. And this kiln is 350 foot long, 12 foot in diameter. It's a tube. And it sets up in the air about 20 feet. There are times when we have to get up on top of this kill when it's shut down to do various amounts. Thank you very much. Various amounts of work on this kill. And you get up there and you walk on the top of this kill, and it's straight. And even though it's 12 foot in diameter, when you're 20 foot in the air, it looks about like this. So man, in his wisdom, has strung a cable across the top of it that you can grab a hold of to keep from falling off. Well, this is the same thing that God has done for us to keep us on that straight and narrow. He's provided a cable that we can grab onto. And that cable is the gospel, the word of Christ. But you know that we become distracted. When we're out there working on this kill where I work, we sometimes become distracted with the work we're doing, or with somebody talking to us, or just daydreaming, and we let go of this cable. And when we let go of this cable, then we're in danger of falling to destruction. And this is the same way it is when we let go of this cable that holds us to the gospel of Christ, that holds us on this straight and narrow. If we're distracted by the things of the world, if we're distracted by the things that are out there that entice us, we're liable to let go momentarily even. It doesn't take long. Momentarily, we're distracted. We let go of the gospel of Christ and we slide off of the straight and narrow path. And it takes dedication. It takes dedication to be able to hold on to that cable. To be fully dedicated, brothers and sisters, you must submit. You can't have a will of your own. You must submit that will to Jesus Christ. You must submit that will to the gospel. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." Submit yourselves therefore to God. Romans 10:3 says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And how many times do we find ourselves doing that? How many times do we try to establish our own righteousness by making excuses for some of the things that we do, for some of the things that we say that are contrary to God's law? Has that ever happened to us? Have we ever done that? Sure we have. Let's turn over to James. I'm going to read out of the 4th chapter of James, the 7th through the 10th. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That's what you have this dedication I've been talking about for. So you can resist the devil. So that you can overcome those things. "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." If you find yourself further from God than you were a year ago or a week ago, who's moved? Who's moved? Certainly not God. You have moved from him. He hasn't withdrawn from you. "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's that humility that our brother was talking about this afternoon. Humble yourselves in his sight. And though you may be humble in the sight of men, though you may look small in the sight of men, you will be a giant to our Heavenly Father. He'll lift you up. He'll exalt you. But only by us going down into those depths of humility can we accomplish that task. We need to purify ourselves to become children of God. We need that type of dedication to Christ that we would want to put away from ourselves the worldly ways. The worldly ways of hate. The worldly ways of envy. The worldly ways of the things of the flesh. We need to put off sin. We need to put sin away from our lives. Let's turn over to John. 1 John. Excuse me. 1 John 3, 1 through 10. 1 John 3, 1 through 10. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we, talking about us, we should be called the sons of God. Doesn't that have a ring to it? Doesn't that really put a feeling of pride here within you when you hear that? That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that's a clue. That's a clue for us tonight of how we should dedicate our lives and what we should dedicate it for. To be like him. To be Christ-like in our actions, in our deeds, in our everyday living, in our conversation. We should be Christ-like. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whoso committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Yes, brothers and sisters, we're going to sin. We're going to slip. But we have Christ to go to. We can repent of those things that we do that are contrary to his law. We can get down on our knees and ask him for his forgiveness. And he promises that forgiveness to us. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. And if we continue in those sins that we have in our lives, if we continue to do those things that are sinful in his sight, then we truly have not known him. Then we truly have fallen short of the mark. Then we truly have become the devil's disciples. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And that is our challenge tonight, to do righteousness, to do those things that God has commanded us to do in his scriptures. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. That's how we know them. This next statement. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. We must dedicate ourselves to get rid of that pride that is within us. Proverbs 16, 18, and 19 says, Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. First Peter, the 5th chapter, starting with the 6th verse. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I think we heard that this afternoon, didn't we? Casting all your care upon him. Why? This next part of this verse is important to us. It's paramount to us. For he careth for you. He careth for you. He loves you. Christ loves you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We all have to face from time to time those things, those afflictions that are in the world. And it behooves us, the brother, to lift out, to reach out to them, to try to lift them up, to reach out, to try to bring them back, to reach out, to pack them on the back. Say, have faith, for Christ is with you. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make ye perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. We may have to suffer those afflictions. We may have to go through those trials and tribulations. But if we put our lives in God's hands, he will strengthen us. He will establish us. He will settle us. How do we go about, brothers and sisters? What are some of the steps that you and I can make, can put in our lives, that might help us dedicate ourselves a little stronger tonight. From this time on, one, and it's paramount. Each one of you know it in your hearts, but I'll just rehearse it to you. Love your God. Love your God with all your heart, mind, might, and strength. That's all in companies. I've said about everything. Strength, heart, mind, all of those things love God with. And love your neighbors as yourself. Second, be diligent in looking after the things of God. Don't be slack. Be diligent in looking after the things of God. And I'd like to turn to 2 Peter. The third chapter, the 11th through the 14th verses. 2 Peter, third chapter, 11 through 14. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? What manner of persons ought we to be? Let's bring it down on a personal level. What manner of person should each one of you be? In all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's where we should be trying to dwell now, tonight, from this moment on, to dwell in righteousness. To try to make our lives as perfect as we possibly can. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. If Christ came tonight, could we say that? If Christ walked through the door tonight and faced us, could we say that? Could we say that we're without spot? Could we say that we're blameless? Could we say that we've done all that there is to do? There's nothing left. No, brothers and sisters, we have a long way to go. We have a big fight ahead of us. We have a battle on our hands. And to be victorious in that battle, we best have diligence. We best be dedicated to the cause. Third, be joyful. Be joyful. Because we have something, brothers and sisters, that the world don't have. We have that peace of God. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Fourth, keep active. And as I travel around through the different localities, I find maybe the same thing happening. And believe me, I've told our local about it. I see a Sunday morning Christian. I see a Sunday morning Christian. That's not dedication, brothers and sisters. That's not dedication to the Lord. Eternal life. We have to keep our attendance up. We have to be at all of the call meetings that we possibly can make. Five, continually seek God. I'd like to turn over to the Book of Mormon on page 112, and if you'll turn with me. I want to start at the 98th verse in the second book of Nephi, chapter 7. That's on page 112. Behold, my soul abhors sin, and my heart delighteth in righteousness, and I will praise the holy name of my God. Come, my brethren, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, do not spend money for that which is of no worth, nor your labor for that which cannot satisfy. Hearken diligently unto me, and remember the words which I have spoken, and come unto the Holy One of Israel, and feast upon that which perish not, neither can be corrupted, and let your soul delight in fatness. Behold, my beloved brethren, remember the words of your God. Pray unto him continually by day, and give thanks unto his holy name by night. Let your hearts rejoice. And behold how great the covenants of the Lord, and how great his condescensions unto the children of men. Study to show thyself approved. Know the words of God. Know what's in the books. Dedicate yourselves to becoming scholars in the gospel of Christ. Regulate your lives so as to be able to know and receive the revelations of God. Let us all dedicate ourselves so that God can speak to us. And so we'll be able to recognize it when he does. And that takes dedication. That takes commitment on each and every one of our parts. He could speak to us tonight. And if we weren't in such a condition to receive, we would not hear his voice. We would not hear his voice. Turn with me to Romans. The 12th chapter. I'm going to read the first verse and then drop on down to 9. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And what does he say then? Which is your reasonable service. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We need in our dedication to God not to be discouraged, but to be ever hopeful that Christ is with us, and through righteous living we'll be able to spend eternity with Him. I felt the floor shake a little bit. That means that trap door is about to open. So I think I'm going to close, but I'd like to close with a poem that was written by Helen Steiner Rice, and it's entitled, Never Be Discouraged. There is really nothing we need know or even try to understand if we refuse to be discouraged and trust in God's guiding hand. So take heart and meet each minute with faith in God's great love, aware that every day of life is controlled by God above. And never dread tomorrow or what the future brings. Just pray for faith and courage and trust God in all things. And never grow discouraged. Be patient and just wait. For God never comes too early, and He never comes too late. Brothers and sisters, I've enjoyed the reunion so far, and I pray God that each one of you will feel the love that I have in my heart for all of you. Thank you.